It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. We are joined today on the hottest, probably the hottest day of the year.
It's hot.
A close contest. Penny Rich is our county commissioner, our chair, and she's joining us because she heard there was air conditioning in the studio and said, I'm in.
I heard there were ice pops in the freezer, too. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I think you have to earn it.
Oh, okay.
That's what I understand. You have to earn it. There has to be a great show, you know, where we walk out of the studio laughing our heads off.
Right.
As per usual, which only means for us that it's Monday. Oh, my God. It's probably been a month since I talked to you.
I think so, yeah.
Or a year in political terms.
Sure. These days, right?
Really is. Do you feel like, let me ask you this, just going back to January 20th, 2017, the darkest day of your recent life.
Yeah.
Do you feel like time is moving faster now or slower?
I think it's moving faster. It's exhausting, though, because what happens in the morning isn't the same thing that's going on in the evening.
Right.
And so, you know, this constant news feed of these disastrous happenings that this man in the White House is undertaking is just, it's unbelievable. So, you know, you think in the morning you heard the worst thing you're going to hear all day long. And then by the time, you know, 8, 9 o'clock rolls around, you're like, what else can happen?
And somebody says to you, did you hear the outrageous thing the president said today? And you're saying, in the morning or the afternoon?
Or lunchtime, since
happy hour started. I think that's right. I think that the, let's see, it's radio. We have to keep this clean. I think that the stream of that stuff is accelerating.
Yeah.
I think that he is accelerating in his. I mean, I'm probably just the most optimistic person you know, which is hard to believe. But I really think he is panic-stricken right now.
Well, he's crazy, and it's coming out, right? So
yes.
I think
all these people who have left the administration have shown that, and many of them, when they've left, they said, listen, you just don't know the crazy that I stole off the top of his desk or whatever.
Right.
And we've all gone, whatever. You know, you've saved us all from calamity. Well, you know, I think that each one of them probably did own a little piece of that story.
Maybe. But where are they now? I mean, where are the people that are still working for him?
I think that they're probably in therapy.
I mean,
and whoever's left. Who's left who's been there from the beginning?
No one.
Our beloved Stephen Miller.
Our Duke person.
A human.
Duke trained.
A human. Please don't blame Duke. It's much contempt as I have for Duke in every single possible way, athletically speaking. They are still, a legit university.
Right, compared to him.
Yeah, right.
He's just a piece of work, I have to say.
Really, really something.
He is a hateful human being.
He is one of the scariest people I think I've ever seen on TV, and I've seen Donald Trump on TV a lot.
Goodness, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, and I never before seen an individual who more reflected the human embodiment of a snake.
Oh.
Except for Governor Rick Scott.
Oh.
The two of them belong in an island somewhere, right?
There's a couple of them right now that sort of need to, Ted Cruz, he comes up with these zingers that are just like, wow, I just can't believe it.
Wow, did he stay up all night thinking of some of those? At least we probably think he thought of them.
Right.
So when Trump does these ridiculous things, like coming to our state and dragging us into it, because all the stuff about the rally from last week, which was scheduled to be on the same night as Mueller's testimony.
Right.
You know, I'll come back to that in a moment.
Distraction.
As a wonderful piece of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Was held, I grimace at the thought, was held at ECU. A campus that belongs to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sake, how do they not know that that's not a good idea?
Not a good idea.
Because, I saw he was coming to North Carolina and I didn't know where he was going to be. The one thing I was sure of is that he would never be in Chapel Hill.
Right.
he just wouldn't be here. The town council wouldn't allow it. You guys wouldn't allow it. There'd be
security.
A human chain around
goodness.
The place. There's
we can't
no
afford
way.
That kind of security. I mean,
you'd
I know
have
he,
to
he
say
pays.
No.
No, you'd have to say no. I'm It's interesting that Greenville actually let him come in, that ECU let him come in. I mean, I guess, you know, you want to take the money. They have nothing, you know, they put all these disclaimers out afterwards.
I
think so. They put the disclaimers out afterwards and said, you know, we had nothing to do with this. We're not part of this. You know, they're trying to walk it back. I personally think, though, that that was all staged. That was his the people that work for him started that chant. And and then it all just, you know, snowballed into everybody yelling it. But I mean, I honestly think that, you know, he's got his campaign. People thought it was a good idea, so they did it. And it's not a good idea. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible thing to do and say and continue to say. He doesn't stop.
Well, you know, here's what happened. Apparently, I just saw this reporting just before we came in today that Omarosa, other than Omarosa.
She reappears, okay.
Has reappeared. And one of the things that she said is, let's just put this to rest. Here's how it works. There are sections in the audience, and there are section leaders in the audience.
Sure.
And to Trump's right, in the foreground, to his right, is the main section leader who makes decisions about chants. This is not unlike, by the way, maybe this is where they got the idea. Mm-hmm. This is not unlike what Duke does at games. You know, they hand out sheets of the chants for
right.
the students.
Sure.
We respectfully disagree. And all of these things that they do at games that we all admire. I mean, I do. I think they do a great job of managing the student enthusiasms to keep it from getting out of control. But anyway, he has a section leader. And in that section, on that night, the section leader was none other than a gentleman by the name of John Pence, the son of the vice president.
Interesting.
Who was asked about all of this and the
of
chance
course, no.
later and said, oh, I don't know, I think that if that should happen again in the future, maybe, that I guess the president would have to think about responding. I mean, the most...
Well, it was planned.
A more mealy-mouthed response
staged.
You will not get. Is impossible that this could have just spontaneously happened.
Yeah, it's all staged.
And when I watched it live, I said to my husband, well, this is stagecraft. You know, these aren't Duke fans or these aren't ACC fans, more broadly, who are going to come up with a chant to taunt the other team on the field. No, no, no. That's not spontaneous.
No.
No, please.
It wasn't.
This is probably focus group tested stuff.
Oh, sure. And, you know, people that are Donald Trump fans think it
they thought it was great.
It was great. It was fabulous. Look, spontaneous breakout.
Yeah. And not a thing about it was racist. You know, it's if that's what it was, that's in your mind. Well, of course, we know it absolutely is. And that brings us to that overarching question of, you know, is it satisfying enough for people to just say, oh, look, he's a racist, you know, and while the rest of us are going, as you did on your Twitter feed, oh, what, he's a racist?
Well,
holy cow!
Shocked. Oh, we're discovering that now. Right. I mean, that's the thing. We're starting to talk about him being a racist. In Charlottesville, when he said there's good people on both sides, he wasn't a racist then. But now suddenly he's a racist. The problem that I have is he's picking on four women of color. Right.
Right.
Three of which were born here. One
yes.
was not.
All refugee. American citizens.
All American citizens.
Right.
But they are women and they are of color. And I just, like, don't even know how his party allows him to do this. They are elected officials, just like he is. He might be the president, but they worked hard to get elected, too. They represent people.
And you know? when there was a resolution to condemn him for doing this, they just ran in the corner
right.
and hid and voted against that. And you know, when we come back, we will talk about what those steps mean. I happen to think they mean a lot because I think that I've kind of in many ways stopped even looking at Trump about these things.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the rest of the GOP.
I think that's right.
And I think that these are the people that Americans you know, in the vast expanse need to examine, because they are on the ballot also.
Right.
And they need to go on the record and say, I stand with this
force
display
them,
that
force
you
them
just
at all
saw.
These town halls and all
That's
these
right.
right they you have to make them say
make them say this, I stand
I
with
stand.
The racist
right.
just you know t- you have to take your hood off first
right
and then say
and then
I
say
stand
and
with
then,
the racist
then you put your hood back on
yeah all in favor say aye and then you put your little you know,
right.
little white sheet on and you go back about to whatever it is that you were doing we don't want to know probably
right
well we're going to talk some more with Penny Rich about this and some a little bit of lighter fare. We're going to have an update on the emu search, emu on the run in Orange County.
Emu
very, very exciting
very
story.
Very important, yeah.
Very important story.
Made the New York Times.
Everybody,
if
it's in the New York Times, then it must be
must
fit
be.
To, it's fit to print at least.
Fit to print.
That's right. We're going to be back with more of the Weekend Water Cooler in just a moment. Don't go away. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. We're back with Penny Rich, and we're talking about standards. You know, speaking of standards, by the way, I mean, the standard high temperature for this time
oh
of
my
year
goodness.
Is like, what, 80?
Yeah, well,
tomorrow's
supposed to be in the 80s. It's
tomorrow
been, it's
be
been
nice.
Ridiculous, though.
We're recording on Monday, and the weather's supposed to break on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Let's hope it breaks and is not, and doesn't
It'll come back,
go back to 100.
Well, maybe not right away, but it will. How's your air conditioning holding up? Is it pumping really hard to
thank goodness. You know, yes.
You replaced
mine,
it last
mine
year.
Mine is very, very
okay.
happy. Yeah, we got more than we needed. We have it serviced every year. And
so you're doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine is
and
doing okay, too.
I worry,
too.
Though, you know.
I do, too. You know, because my mom loves me, and she's 90, and so I try to keep it. I don't like to make it very cold because, you know, even though it's 100 degrees out, she can't stand it inside cold. So it's like, I keep it at like 77, which some people think is warm, but it's fine.
They do. We keep it because we're Yankees. That's why.
Yeah.
This is the truth. Our house is at 78 during the day.
It's just fine.
And it's
it's
75
It's 98
overnight.
Outside. And if you come in and it's 78, it's 20 degrees cooler inside.
So if you
it's a big difference.
Yeah, so if you feel like it's not cool enough
go
in the
stand
house,
outside for a little
just
bit.
Go out and get the mail
right.
and come
back.
And then you'll
like,
go, oh.
That's when I walked in here. I was like, oh.
Turn up the fan a little higher.
That's all.
If the air's moving, you're good.
You're good.
Drink ice water, you know.
Lots
these
of
are things. These are good things to do.
Tips.
And yes, water.
Around the water cooler.
All summer long, water from the water cooler.
There you go.
I'm just saying, you know, if you wanted to just binge the weekend water cooler for the whole weekend and not go outside in that ridiculous heat. We went to a baseball game in Baltimore. The previous Saturday, it was about 102 at the beginning of the game. And I'm not talking about heat index. I think I heard that
it was...
Were
you close to the field, too? Because it's always hotter down
there.
Well,
we were in the outfield facing west.
Ooh.
And so...
Had the sun already set?
No, not quite.
Oh.
We thought it maybe was a... You know, we had the sun on us for maybe... Half an hour.
That's not too bad. But still, it's 100 and something. Degrees.
But the air temperature was about 102, and with the heat index, it was in the upper 100 and teens. We found out later. This is I'm like, you know, never tell me those numbers.
Mm.
I'll just fall over, you know. But the great thing is that because of the heat, when you hit a baseball, it's like hitting a golf ball when it's hot. It just the ball just goes and goes and goes.
Yeah.
And so we're so here we are. You know, we're in like, was it the first inning? No, the top of the second inning. And the Red Sox go up like 4-0, 5-0. You know, it's like watching Little League.
Yeah.
If they get a hit, everything's a home run.
Right.
So the score ended up being 17-6.
Oh, my goodness.
In favor of the Red Sox.
Wow, 17.
And, yeah. And so, you know, it was just like, you know, people were like coming in from the crowd and they were hitting home runs. I mean, it felt like that. It was just
crazy.
A little bit too easy. They had a guy late in the game pitching for the Orioles. The Orioles, by the way, are a great, great organization. They have wonderful staff. They all have the happiest attitude, even when it was miserably hot. They're cheerful. They're helpful. Mm. They're very glad you're there. Their team has completely sucked for the last several years. And for anybody to come to their ballpark and
they're
watch a game, they're going, you know, I'm
Thank
employed
you.
Because you're here. I'm so happy you're here. Is there anything I can do? Can I shine those shoes for you? The other thing is that they allow people to bring food into the ballpark now to encourage families to come.
Right, because too expensive.
It gets expensive otherwise, right. So they're being very creative and trying to keep the enthusiasm up for their team. And last year, we did this same weekend thing. I met my brother and his family in Baltimore. They're in Connecticut. And we met there for the Red Sox-Orioles game for my birthday. And so I tweeted out a picture and said, hey, you know, I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan, but I love the Baltimore Orioles. They were so great to me on my birthday. And I'm telling you, I got a couple of really nice tweets from them.
There you go.
I didn't hear
it's
anything from the Red Sox.
Right.
They're a little bit too good
it's
for me now.
It's not that hard to send nice tweets. It's not that hard to be kind.
Yeah, you know, honest to God.
It really isn't.
So take a tip, Red Sox.
Yeah.
Jeez, what would it cost you?
A little attitude there.
Yeah. Well, you know, they just said, you know, we're busy getting ready
for
the World Series.
We're busy. Yeah.
We're busy getting ready to just, you know, wipe the floor in the World Series. So sorry, lifelong fan who loved us when we were never winning.
When
the
we
World
were nothing.
When we were famous for dropping the ball.
That's right.
But we do still love them. Even you know, it's kind of part of their charm is that if they were down 17-6, there's no way we would have left the ballpark because we're like, they could still win.
Yeah,
they could. You don't want to know the number of times years ago that the Red Sox were down by 5 runs, and we turned off the game, said it's the 8th inning, I think it's over.
Right.
And we wake up the next day, it's the most spectacular comeback in the history of baseball.
Dang, we went to sleep.
And you missed it. So we had a good time, but I mean.
It's great.
The
still
heat,
hot.
The heat was ridiculous.
Well, you know, this gets back to that whole, you know, conversation about climate change.
Right.
And how are we preparing for something like this? So,
you
know, the county opened up facilities where people
I saw that
go.
On my way out of town.
Yeah,
I said, why are we leaving? They're opening up all these cooling centers
and we let the libraries stay open a little bit longer. We had all the library and anywhere, like the community centers, we serviced all the HVAC systems to make
Fantastic.
Sure that they weren't going to break down.
Yeah.
Carver had the spritzers, you know, the spit coming at you, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
Misters.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you
not,
can walk.
Not Mrs. Through. Misters.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're trying to do the right things. We were encouraging, of course, everyone to keep an eye out for their neighbors and their pets. And
well, listen, I'm just glad we're not in drought.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We've had that a couple of years.
We have. I was on the Iwasa board, remember, 2001, and then in 2007 again. Yeah, that's not even funny.
Yeah, I don't even, not even a little bit funny.
No, we don't even
I'm glad we don't have that. But we do have these concerns, Penny, about flooding.
Yeah.
And I mean, what a world to live in right now, running a county, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And from what I'm understanding from you, not a lot of state, not a lot of help from the state.
No, you know, we were just reviewing the bills, as a matter of fact, and it says make changes to the school insurance standards and requires the tax levying authority, that would be the counties in North Carolina, for each administrative unit appropriated sufficient funds to purchase insurance for all schools. And flood insurance. Because some of the old schools are actually built in flood zones, right? And we have low-income apartments right here over in Estes that are in flood zones.
Right.
You know, they're not low-income if you lose everything every time it rains.
Yeah.
And we've tried to do something about it. But how do we, you know, I hear like, well, we can't do it, you know, what can Orange County do or what can Chapel Hill do? I hear from some people that I don't want to mention their names.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot that everybody could do. I mean, if everyone just does something or just takes something out of, you know, the straws. Of course, Donald Trump is selling plastic straws because, you know. But, yeah, I know, don't shake your head. It's okay. Don't hurt your brain on it. You're shaking too hard.
No.
But, you know, there's just little things that everybody could do, and it's not that hard. You just get yourself out of the habit. You bring your own lunch in a paper bag. It's not that hard.
Right. And use it, and maybe use the paper bag more than once.
Sure.
If it's still clean, you know, then reuse things.
Reuse.
And just minimize the amount that you're wasting. It's I think that especially the issue of stormwater management and just to stay on the schools thing for just a moment, I was just mentioning, you know, the county, of course, like every part of the county, Orange County Schools and Chapel Hill Schools have very old schools,
very
some
old
elementary schools. Certainly would love to build a new, shining new replacement school, maybe, you know, obviously not on the same site. If it's in a flood zone, maybe you'd like to think about the future and minimizing that risk by putting the new school on higher ground. And so what does the state do? They say, by the way,
we're going to cut your funding.
No money for
We're going to cut
no
your funding
for building.
Capital.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. Frank Porter Graham shares a campus with UNC.
Right.
And their playground is in a flood zone.
Yep.
Every time it rains, it floods. So
I'm
finally
sure.
They got money from the state to move the playground. I mean, this was just like how many...
Must be for years and years,
years
they've waited for that.
Years. And I mean, it's not rocket science.
No,
fix it.
It's not. Just
fix
make,
it.
Just move it. I mean...
Stop taking money away from schools. I mean, how do you wake up the next morning and feel like that's a good thing as you continuously take money away from out of the schools? I don't get it.
And for the life of me, I don't get how... The GOP representatives go home at the end of the day after they've introduced a bill that does this and say, whew, boy, good day at work today.
Good day at work. Good
I
bill.
I don't get it.
Good bill.
I really helped who? That's kind of the, I think it's Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, taught me that. When you see these things, you need to ask yourself, you know, who's up, who's down at the end of a thing like that? Who wins from that? Because it's almost, it's not an intuitive thing. It's not obvious.
It's not a win.
But somebody is.
Somebody is, yeah, but well, right, the charter schools are winning.
Somebody's poking that to
happen. Yeah, the charter schools, privatized education. That certainly is where North Carolina wants to be. They don't want public education. And it's just like privatize the jails.
But why?
Because their friends can make
money. Public education has only done great things for the state, for the business community.
Of course it has, but that's not where their money's coming from.
I drag these facts into it just to throw you off the game. And it doesn't work. It
doesn't work.
Well, I'm going to have to take a step back and let our sponsors speak to our listeners for a moment while I talk to Penny Rich a little more about what we're going to deal with next. And I think the emu is coming up next.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I need it. All right. We're going to be back in just a moment with more of the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. We are back with our senior emu correspondent, Penny Rich, whose exploits on Twitter... following the emu has entertained me to no end. I can't thank you enough for that. In the last week, I think I tweeted something about I'd rather see this on the ticker on CNN than the other thing. And Bethany Cheney said, "No kidding." When did we first discover there was an emu on the loose in Orange County? Do you know?
Yeah,
it's been
it was
a week, right?
No, it actually happened earlier than we thought. I think the first sighting of it, they didn't think it was the real deal.
Okay.
So it's been a little bit more than a week. I think we're closer to like 2 weeks now.
Is the emu just living off the land?
The emu is living off the land. We learned a couple of things about emus because, of course, I talked to animal services about it.
Yes.
So first of all, we don't know where the emu came from, right? It was spotted in Orange County and then heading over to Chatham. Mm-hmm. But you know, our animal services have been involved with trying to, like,
locate
bring
it.
The emu home.
Control
safely.
The animal, shall we say?
Yeah. And so, you know, none of the farmers around here are missing an emu. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, okay.
Are there a lot of... So somebody spotted this critter and knew that it was an emu specifically.
Well, not quite, but they said, you know, it was a big bird and yeah.
Has there been a picture published anywhere?
There has not, like the Bigfoot, but
yeah,
you know, no, but they do know it's an emu though, because you know, they the description of more than one person has seen it. It's not like it's just one person.
It's not mythological.
It's not a mythological creature. The funny thing is, though, you know, the Animal Services really doesn't want you to get close to an emu because they're strong.
Sure they can be pretty aggressive, too,
They're 100 pounds. They don't fly, so they run really, really fast.
Right.
And it's really hard to capture them. And so, but what they do eat is grass and bugs and, you know, things that, you know, Orange and Chatham counties have plenty of abundance.
Right.
So,
yes.
You know.
So we can survive off the land quite handily.
Absolutely can survive, yeah.
So.
But, you know, the farmer that spoke to the New York Times has an emu, and that's why they went to this farmer to see. And and he was like, no, my emu's here and it's just fine. But if you do capture the other emu, why don't you bring her up so she can fraternize with my emu? And I was like, so the emu has a date already.
A date waiting.
And, like, you know, not showing up for anything. But there's quite a following. Emu has 65 followers on Twitter.
And what is the handle exactly?
The handle is OC underscore emu.
Okay.
And it's at OC emu, OCEMU1. So, you know, I think you just have to look for Orange County emu.
And you'll probably find it. Not a lot of competition in that area.
The competition's not there. There have been some, you know, jokes about it looking like a Pokemon creature, and so everybody's out with their phones looking for Pokemon, and, you know, the emu is saying
it. Would probably bump into it and not notice
because it doesn't show up on the app. Yeah, right.
This is the world we're in now.
Yeah, the tracking is weird, and, you know, I can't imagine that it's gone too far into Chatham. I mean, maybe it's heading towards Lee County.
There should be an app.
Yeah.
There should somewhere in this county is a teenager who should be able to, by this time, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Have developed an app for tracking the emu.
Just the mass of it, right? I think it's funny because, like you said, we hear all these horrible headlines about North Carolina, about chants and at rallies and just all these, you know, Silent Sam for all his time was bad. And we made national news
for all the wrong reasons.
You know, the toilets and the, you know, bathrooms and all the wrong things. And now we made HuffPost and the Washington Post
and the
New York Times.
For the
that
emu.
Is an emu running loose.
And you've just given me the update a few minutes ago that now there is the Carborough coyote.
Carborough coyote is concerned and saying that, this is not good. So he's like, Carborough coyote is like, I follow you now, emu one, and I'm on your trail. He said this could be a big chicken dinner. I don't even know who Carborough Coyote. That's funny. Let's see. Carborough Coyote, you know, let's see. I don't know. Is this a newer?
Really someone you know.
Oh, Carborough Coyote has 31 followers.
Oh, jealous. Yeah. Jealous.
Really? It's pretty
okay.
funny.
Okay. Well, you know, folks, if you're listening, you need to get on Twitter and you need to go. First of all, you should be tweeting at the Weekend Water Cooler all the time.
Sure.
Okay. So let's just get there. And you can always tweet me at Jean Bolduc and tweet Penny Rich at Penny at Penny Rich. Am I right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And, tell us what you think, always. But you should be following the emu. I think if the emu gets like 200 followers on Twitter, this is my prediction. Then the emu is going to want to have a press conference or something.
I think so, too.
Out and tell everybody
The emu has 65 followers.
65,
That's
a respectable number for an emu.
Yeah, and the emu is following 56 people. So
the emu can't type.
Well, it has three fingers, right? It doesn't have like a regular...
Right. Yeah, no thumb, though.
No thumb. That might be a challenge.
It's a challenge. Well, maybe it's voice activated.
Yeah.
iPhone.
There you go.
Does the emu have an iPhone?
It probably ate an iPhone in its stomach. Or an Android.
I don't know which that would be.
We're going to have to find out.
We're going to have to figure these things out.
Someone out there. Can we get someone to
somebody who knows a lot about technology should tweet us and let us know. Do you think that the runaway emu, I don't even know if it's a runaway so much or a touring, you know, it could be a tour, like a concert tour. Maybe it started last month at the Festival of the Emu over in Durham. Everybody get that joke?
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, and so, you know, maybe it started, it just started elsewhere in the state and just got noticed in Orange County.
Right. You know what, though, the funny thing is, how do you not notice that your emu is missing?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
I mean, I think it.
I think emu services should be contacted about that. Because, I mean, you know.
Andy Morgan has it up to here with the jokes. She's like, come on, stop it already.
Stop it already. Well, we do want everybody to be aware, however, that if they should spot the emu, that they should report it. Take a picture if you can, safely.
Take a picture. Animal services.
Yeah, but don't approach an animal, especially if it's an animal that might be scared. And
oh, my goodness, yeah.
Might not be scared of you, though. So, you know, I don't know if I want something that's angry and 100 pounds coming at me.
Running 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Not so much.
Really,
yeah.
Really. And, you know, it's not an ostrich.
No.
It's not a pheasant. So you're not going to be able to, you know, put it under glass and make a meal out of it. And I know that Penny Rich, our local resident chef, could make a meal out of almost anything.
Almost anything. Emu, though?
I don't know. That would be one of those awkward baskets on Chopped.
Yeah, right.
You know, where you say, I got to make a sauce out of this. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing with this. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll come back with more. We'll wrap up with the emu and move on to other things, I hope, here on the Weekend Water Cooler, talking to Penny Rich, who's a good sport. Stay with us. We're listening to 97.9 The Hill. We're back with Penny Rich. You know, one of these days, we're gonna go ahead and just throw on the air all the things that we talk about during these breaks.
During the breaks.
And that'll be the end of the WCHL broadcast license. but, okay.
Yeah.
I digress. So the squad. The squad is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm going to say her name wrong. Please forgive me. It's Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. It's Ayanna Presley of Massachusetts, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Now, Ayanna Presley, I don't know if a lot of people know this. Gosh, I find her very impressive. Mm. She is to me the dictionary definition of a strong black woman. Mm-hmm. She grew up in public housing in Massachusetts, and she worked for John Kerry.
Yeah.
And John Kerry, bless his heart, in the last week has gotten himself on television saying, you really picked the wrong fight, Donald.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
This young woman knows what she's doing.
But all four of them, they're hard workers. They got elected. They ran amazing races.
And none of them were close, by the way.
Right. And they are elected to represent people of the United States, just like this buffoon is.
Yes.
But so the whole idea that you're going to take them down this way, you know, a party's not going to say anything. I'm sorry. I think that they are great. I would even add Kathy Porter to that. I think Kathy Porter is amazing.
I love her.
And she's a first timer too. She also worked very, very hard to get there. And
yes.
she is amazingly
so
great. When she's asking those questions, I'd add her
representing
to that.
The first Democrat to represent Orange County, California,
yep.
a highly conservative district since, you know, the dawn of man. I don't know how long it's been, if ever, that a Democrat represented that district. She's just wonderful. I just rewatched a tape of Katie Porter interviewing Jamie Dimon. She just took him apart.
Ripped him apart.
Absolutely killed
him.
And all of them, in fact, when they have had their 5 minutes, which as junior members of their committees is almost always all they get, if anything, they have made the best use of 5 minutes time because they are extremely well prepared.
Yep.
And if you watch AOC interviewing questioning somebody in committee, you would not in a million years guess that she was not an attorney before coming to Congress.
Right.
She is very bright, very skilled. You don't have to agree with everything she says to agree with those assessments. She is one of the most effective questioners I've ever seen. They find a way to take a personal attachment to whatever they're questioning about and bring it home. And I mean, it's just very, very impressive.
Right.
And if the president were picking on only one of them, I would say he was out of his league.
Right.
To pick on all four of them in a manner that is egregiously racist.
Oh.
I mean, this
and misogynistic. They're all women.
Yeah.
You know, he's picking on. And so, you know, he
what a fool.
Well, I think, you know, he couldn't pick on Nancy Pelosi. I know we wanted to bring her into the conversation as well.
Yes.
He couldn't find his way to pick on her,
no.
Right? Because she's white. She's from California. She is, you know, she's a California liberal. Okay. But he couldn't quite figure out how he was going to get
yeah.
to her. So what he did is he picked on these four young ladies. And, you know, they don't always see eye to eye with Nancy, and that's okay. I mean, he saw that slight separation. He was going to get in there, and you know, but you know, she came back. Nancy Pelosi came back and said, "Yeah, don't do that." You know,
well, and you know, I know that some of my younger friends, including my children, have been a little bit disappointed about Nancy Pelosi in some ways. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you something. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, went onto the floor into the well of the House of Representatives." And called the president of the United States a racist.
Right.
And if you don't think that's a big deal, then I'm sending you back to school for you to study American history.
That's right.
And study the rules of the House of Representatives because the Republicans tried to shout her down. It turns out she had reviewed her comments with the parliamentarian who cleared them. And then she went out, gave her remarks as written. And they were screaming bloody murder that these violated the rules of house and all this
right.
stuff, to which she responded by having a vote, because
yep.
the House can vote to overrule that rule. Those rules, by the way, about racism,
calling
someone a racist,
isn't that so odd?
Are not yet 20 years old. Those were put into place in 2009 or something. So... interesting
yeah.
that it's the Republicans who would put in such a rule. Why would you need such protections for the president? They've long had rules about not disparaging another member, and that's been the case for a long, long time, as long as I can remember, and I've been following this stuff too long, probably.
Mm.
But I thought that when Nancy Pelosi weighed in on the president's obscene tweets and the chants and his response to them, you know, she came in with a howitzer and
yeah.
said, here's what this is.
Here's the reality.
I'm calling this what it is now. And once you call a thing,
yeah,
that's done. Now, Trump has responded by backing off and then doubling down.
And then doubling down and flipping it.
He's been all over the place.
He's calling them racist.
But this is the whole
just
thing.
Like, wait.
But this is his act.
Right.
This is his whole, I've seen this cabaret
shtick.
Show.
Yep, yep.
And this is what he does. And this way, in a month, he can go back and say, yep, but I did this. You're saying that, but I said this thing over here. I condemn those people in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
I said that white nationalism was terrible. Sure. And then, you know, you also said good people on both sides of that,
right.
you know, that Nazi rally
right.
That killed someone.
Right.
You know, so he finds a way to make a statement that fits every single position on the spectrum so that then he and the people who work for him can point to whatever that thing is whenever they need to point to that and create so much confusion that everybody throws their hands up and says, you know, what's on the Cartoon Network?
Right.
I can't watch this anymore. So, you know, I think as we take our final moments here, I'm encouraged, Penny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always trying to find a way to be encouraged.
Me too.
I had a friend years ago who got himself into a life situation that was pretty bad. And it was striking to me that at every turn he kept saying, well, you know, this could be for the best, and here's why. And it didn't, you know, somebody could have just run over his foot with the car and he'd say, well, all of my toes are broken and I can't walk and I'm in terrible pain. But this could be for the best and here's why. Maybe I wasn't supposed to go to this meeting or something, you know, and he could always find a way to be in that mindset. And so I look at where things are with Trump right now and I think this could be for the best and here's why. Having nothing to do with Trump. I want to see Mitch McConnell
mm-hmm.
and Tom Tillis and And I'm on the radio. Lindsey freaking Graham.
Ooh.
I want to see them dragged out of these jobs. And
yep.
And I want to see them lose in a manner that would encourage them to never even show up for the tour at the Capitol.
Right. Totally embarrassed them.
They should be completely embarrassed.
Yeah.
And here's all we need to make that happen. I'm just going to say this one word, and that's all we need. Turnout. Just tell people, don't get into how they're going to vote. You just tell everybody you know,
just go vote.
Just go out and vote. If everybody goes out and if we had an 80% turnout rate, there, you know, we couldn't lose. 25% would be represented in the Congress as part of the GOP.
Right.
I mean, they would be swamped. It would be a generational wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need. So
we do.
It's always comes back to that. Vote, vote, vote.
Yeah, you know, and I think as elected officials in Orange County, we're working really hard for that. We're pretty fortunate here. People
yes.
do actually go vote here, which
yes.
is great.
Yes.
So we're doing the county to county and trying to get people out to vote. And that's what's
and
very
solving
very
any
important.
Problem that's an obstacle for them. And
right.
and by the way, fighting this fight at the state level.
Yeah.
Really necessary.
So
and
important.
I know Orange County's all over that.
Well, all over it.
Well, I would love to talk for another hour, but I have to go meet an emu at a farm.
Right.
Yeah. I just feel like it's so exciting. I could be at any intersection and the emu could just walk right by.
So you have to stay in the southern part of the county, though. I don't think the emu's making its way up north. I think
it's
the southwestern portion. Well, we'll see.
You might go out for a drive.
You never know.
So if you see the emu, you know, you just call Animal Services. Take a photo, but then tweet something to WCHL because we'd love to see it. But Chapelboro is our our handle around here. So, Penny, always come back.
Awesome.
Whenever you have
something.
I
love coming back.
I love having you.
Yeah.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening to The Weekend Water Cooler.
Follow Gene on Twitter, at Gene Bolduc, and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.